Mafia, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Today on our show, we have a guest that I didn't think we would actually ever have on our show from Broad Street Hockey. We have Bill Matz. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
So yeah. It sounds a little weird to say that you're from Broad Street Hockey, but you also have done a wrestling podcast. You're a big wrestling fan. So that's really why we're having you on today.
Yeah. I used to host a show called Smarks and Stripes. Officially, it's still on hiatus over at radio.com, Sports Radio 94 WIP. But it's just kind of fallen off a bit with pandemic and everything, recording rules over at the studio. But yeah, I love wrestling. I was real happy to get the invite. Happy to be here today.
You check all the boxes. You check the wrestling fan, the hockey fan, Philadelphia. I mean, it just makes sense. Like the perfect world. It's just all tied together.
Yeah, and I love doing this stuff. And honestly, you know, what's today? Tuesday? What the hell else am I doing? Why wouldn't I join you guys on this show? You know, it's like, it's either this or do like something actually productive, and to hell with that.
We hear that. So
this show isn't productive?
Well,
are you trying to say that we don't really contribute to any part of society?
I'd have to decorate my house for Christmas. Now that's okay. Being taken care of.
Okay, nice.
By a guy, you know a guy?
Yeah. Yeah, my wife, she's taking care of it.
There you go. So why don't we start off with probably one of the most popular things in wrestling right now is the Full Gear is just finishing up. And there was a lot of talk about back and forth about people hating on it, and which is mostly WWE fans. And then of course, AEW fans loving every second of it. We always kind of fall in the middle, and there are certain matches that stuck out, certain moments that happened. So let's go with, since you're wearing the Darby Allin shirt, let's go with Cody and Darby and what you thought of him actually getting the title and being the face of TNT.
I was pleasantly surprised that he won the title because they keep giving him these shots. They keep trying to push him. And then, okay, well, he did lose another big match. You keep falling into that. And eventually that's just who you are. So I was happy with the match. I was happy to see him finally get this opportunity to be quote unquote the face of TNT. Now, if this just means Cody's going to go away to shoot a show for a couple of weeks and then come back and take the title right back again, we'll see. But I think it's cool to give somebody new a chance. Like, I think the number one criticism of AEW is we were promised all these new stars. We're gonna build new stars.
And
then Mox is champ, like FTR tag champs. Like, it's all these guys that we already know. Cody, face of TNT. So it's cool to give a guy like Darby Allin a chance. He's unique. He's just different. I think he represents the style of the territory a bit. So I'm just happy with it. I thought the match was very good, better than expected. And I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
During that match, there was a huge rumor going around that, and there was all these comparisons made between Darby Allin and Sting and how he's hanging up in the rafters and whatnot. And I personally thought that I hated it. Well, side note, Sting's my favorite wrestler of all time, and I could leave or take Darby Allin, but I didn't like that they were trying to build towards that. Like, I didn't like that, like, they were trying to make this comparison about, because just because he's sitting in the rafters and he has face paint, the two couldn't be further apart from each other. But I will say this is a side story. They did trick my dad into renting Full Gear because he is also a huge Sting fan. So they duped him into $60, which I guess is what the ultimate goal is.
Yeah.
Get the rumor mill going and you get all, squeeze every little cent out of it.
Yeah.
So I don't hate him for it, but I hold a little animosity for them tricking my father.
Yeah, I just like the thing with Sting, like that made that Crow character so great is that he became alienated, and that's why he took on that persona. Like Darby Allin showed up this way. He was already like the standoffish dick with face paint, you know, like dark and what's Ricky Starks call him? Emo. Like, honestly, I love him because he looks like half the kids I hung out with in high school. Like, that's like, these are the shows I went to on Friday nights with my friends. This is what half the people looked like. That's why I like Darby Allin. But yeah, any sort of comparison to Sting, it's like, oh yeah, you know, it's a comparison to, remember that Joe Montana? Like, how do you compare to, how does anything compare to Sting? Like, you can't compare shit to Sting. I'm sorry if I'm not allowed to swear.
You're good. That'll fly.
It's funny, though, that it always happens first, and then you're like, was I allowed to do that? Well, you kind of just did it. We're not censored. Like, it's always like that secondary thing.
Always.
Like, can I? Yeah, well, you kind of did, so let's just roll with it. Yeah. But no, knowing me, if you've ever watched our show, that's usually every other word for me.
Yeah.
Is a curse, so we're fucking good.
Awesome.
All right, so I don't want to spend too much time on each one. There's a couple. I actually went back today and this afternoon and watched a couple of the main matches because I wanted to get just another and refresher. The Young Bucks and FTR match, and you were saying about FTR holding the titles and Young Bucks finally getting that title. And I think with that stipulation of them never challenging for the tag titles again, just like Cody did, having to win because it really put you in a corner if not. I don't know I still don't know if it was the right time for the Young Bucks. I like where they were going and where they are going with this edge that they're giving them. And FTR, like all the things that FTR brings, I think could have gone, I don't know, a little longer. I wanted to see the Bucks chase a little bit longer. And I think it was just, okay, here you go. Because you made that stipulation, we're going to have to give you the titles.
Yeah, the whole, and I thought the same thing kind of with Omega and Page, but they were able to like have a tournament to make it work a little better. But the FTR Bucks, I thought the match was great, but the build and everything, it seemed like a blow off. And I get it. They've been building this thing forever on social media and while they were with different organizations, everything. I understand it, but it was a blow off angle and it's their first meeting ever. And with the lack of real true crowd, like it's a little different. And I get they want to have these big moments. They can't keep putting things off because who knows when they're going to be in full arenas again. But yeah, I love the match and just wanted to see them build it a little more. And just a little, not flat, but not perfect either.
Now, do you think it hurts them in the long run when they blow their load kind of this quickly? Like this should have been a massive build. This should have meant probably 2 to 3 pay-per-views and build that long, because you're right. Social media takes a little bit away because you don't have that. You don't have all the eyes on it. Now that you're on national TV, you have all the eyes where you're going to want to build for them visually, not just tweets back and forth and whatnot and putting still shots. So getting it over with this quick, and these are your two tops, unless you're planning on bringing in someone who's bigger than them, but who the frick else is out there?
Like, yeah, it feels like the Road Warriors ain't showing up, you know, like,
I don't know
who else like tops these guys. I thought this had a chance to close the show. Honestly, like, I understand the top belt's the top belt, but not a single person alive thought Eddie Kingston was walking away with this thing, with, you know, the Bucks having this stipulation and Cody already having lost with the stipulation kind of built the, well, maybe the EVPs are going to just kind of not be in the title picture and they're going to help build other people. So I like that end, but yeah, this could have gone so much longer. And with, with the ban from ringside stipulation, just everything going on there. I thought it did hurt them. It is kind of a blow your load situation. Clean finish, all that. I don't know. It just could have been an epic rivalry, and maybe it still will be. I'm sure they're going to have plenty of matches and they're all going to be great, but too early.
I mean, it could turn out to be like their Usos New Day.
Yeah.
Could very well be that. And there's no one that would say it couldn't be. Mm-hmm. And especially if you, the good thing about AEW is they have people they can keep throwing in there to mix it up with. Like, it doesn't have to be just them two Like, they have three or four other top tag teams in their division that they could filter in there as well. So they could always come back to it and keep coming back to it and keep coming back to it, which is nice.
Yeah, and with, you know, pay-per-view only so often, like, if you skip one between these two and then they're right back in a couple of months, like, all right, it's been 6 months since we've seen this on a pay-per-view. It's not like we're doing it over and over again. Like, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, you know, we can throw it back to Private Party beating the Bucks in the original tournament for the tag title. Well, Private Party, they've been building them a little bit. Suddenly they're contenders. Like, so there are so many options to go to, and you can always fall back on, like New Day Usos, you can always just fall back on, well, FTR Bucks will be great. Here you go.
Well, and I think with AEW, you have so many options. I feel that this division, you're still kind of holding back a ton of talent. And like they said when they started AEW, is they want this to be the tag team destination. They want it to be tag team wrestling. And I think it's kind of fallen short a little bit of that expectation. I mean, every match, every tag match that we've seen so far from AEW has been great. But I don't think, and of course, it's only a two-hour show. You only have four pay-per-views, so you can't feature everybody. But with teams like, I mean, the Best Friends got their push in the beginning, and now they're falling a little behind. But you had the Lucha Brothers still, like you said, Private Party. Lucha Express seems to be their AEW dark darlings right now.
Yeah.
Working a lot when helping the young people that aren't on the contract in the matches. But like, I want to see maybe a tag tournament again, like, but a extended tag tournament, not just like in the beginning. So I think that's the one thing I'm hoping with the Bucks having the titles, maybe moving in that direction and having more tag team action.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Like, instead of like a, you know, single elimination tournament, say more like a thing like New Japan does where everybody wrestles everybody. And then at the end we have people move on and just kind of see what teams are left standing. Like, I would love an elongated sort of tournament situation where we build up as many teams as possible. And just because they lose doesn't mean they're out. Just because they win doesn't mean they're going to the final. Like, I would like to see something like, I think that's the, with the rankings, the way they do rankings, I think that's the best way to go about it.
Yeah. I mean, their rankings kind of, they saddle them a little bit when they do their, because they're not as consistent as they'd like you to believe with it. And they really haven't explained it that well of like, okay, this is, it's a strength of competition. Like, who you beat, like it that doesn't resonate with a wrestling fan because they already know that. All right. Well, it was already pre-decided. Like, now you're just, I mean, yeah, you're getting good matches. It just, the ratings kind of hurt them, I feel.
Like, I think you can book yourself into a box with ratings. Like, all right, well, they're number one, so clearly they're the contenders. That's the only story we're going to tell. Like, so the way they have gone about with some tournaments and things lately, I do like, okay, we have four teams. They're all basically even. Let's throw them all against each other. So I think that's kind of their way around it. But yeah, I mean, the ratings have, it seems, stagnated. They're not as dependent on them. And I'm fine with that. I don't care if there are no ratings, but you always, oh, they told us this was going to be like real sports. Well, we knew it wasn't going to be because it's goddamn professional wrestling. Like, watch UFC if you want that. Like,
how real is that anymore?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the tag division. Obviously, it can always end up shitty or they can do a good job. I'm pretty happy overall at the pay-per-view and the way things are going. We'll see what they do.
I mean, speaking of tag division, do you think that they put Miro in a tag team right away so they didn't fall into that same trap that they were falling into, as that WWE big name comes over now automatically in main title picture?
Yeah, and especially like if you have champs that you don't want to take the titles off of, okay, guy lost right away. Boom. Thanks for that. Thanks for that big build for 3 weeks. And now suddenly they're relegated to dark for a month and then they show back up and we're supposed to just believe they're monsters again. I do think that definitely had something to do with it. And it's not like there's very little shine left on the Miro Rusev. Like, we've seen him broken down to a point where, yeah, it's cool that he's there, but he's not coming in as a top guy of any sort.
Which makes you think, like, why wasn't he ever – is that the reason he was never the top guy there?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Listen, I like Rusev, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be like, oh, yeah, Miro, he's the man. This is the dude they need to push to the very top. He's a superstar. Like, he's a nice piece of a roster who got over doing, you know, Rusev Day. Like, cool, awesome. And, you know, he was a better than average foreign villain. All right, what else do you got?
Yeah, I really don't see this video game angle really sinking in and just becoming this overly over sensation.
Yeah, they, man, like, they are really banking on, and they do it with, like, I think they do it with Omega too. Like, they're just really banking on this crossover of Twitch, gamer, audience. Like, yes, that is a part of your audience, but, like, my, like, I own a PS3. This does not resonate with me at all, you know? it does nothing.
I was playing Guitar Hero and all of a sudden.
Yeah, this does nothing for me. Like, oh, wow, yeah, cool. Video game stuff. All right, you broke my game. I got mad at my friends for this when I was a child. I had a 32X that my buddy broke. I was pissed about that, but we didn't get into a professional wrestling feud over it.
But imagine if you did.
Yeah, exactly.
That shit would have got over, man.
So I want to ask about your thoughts about the main event. And I say that because I feel that, and like you said, the Bucks FTR probably should have main evented that show. And I don't know if it was only me, but I felt like it kind of fell short a little bit. I don't know if it was because I believe that Kingston should have won. I never believed for a second that he was going to win, but I believe that you're going to get all the eyes from Moxley, from Miro, from FTR. Jericho. You're going to get the Jericho. You're going to get them anyway. You're going to get they're already there. If you're going to get them, they're already there probably. I think you can take a chance with Eddie Kingston and other guys like a way back Lance Archer taking the TNT title off of Cody. I think you can do things like that because you're established now. You got those fans that you're going to get. I think it really soured me that you just didn't give Kingston a chance. They didn't believe in that, and they feel like they have to have Moxley on top.
Yeah, they just seem to be so married to Mox, and I get it. I'm a Moxley fan, but man, the story they were telling with Kingston, the promos he was cutting, this was good. This was really, really good stuff.
This was the best stuff that they were putting on promo-wise, aside from Cody.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, like this was really great shit, and I never thought Kingston was gonna win. Like, that was just never going to happen.
So bad. Yeah. I wanted that whole change the world aspect to really resonate with them for once and be like, all right, this is how we do it. You want new stars? You want people you've never seen before? Here you go.
Yeah, that's exact. Like, take that chance. Absolutely take that chance. Listen, if everybody shits on it, take the belt off him in 10 days. Like, it ain't hard. WWE used to do this shit every week, and it was the best period of wrestling ever. It's fine if something doesn't work and you fix it in 10 days. But I just thought it was a real good opportunity. I never thought it was going to happen, but it was an opportunity for them to establish themselves as so much different, like we were promised, and they went the other way. They went the predictable route.
And I don't think this is all Moxley either. I think they glorified this idea of Omega and Moxley together, and like they're going to become like this feud. Like, it, and I think it's this whole thing of where, all right, the first non-WWE guy to win this major championship is going to be Kenny Omega. They already stamped that, but they weren't going to give it to him off the bat because they wanted to solidify and build the company first. And let's face it, Jericho is more over than Moxley and Omega, possibly combined. So that's the right move on their part, business-wise, because you have the biggest name that you're going to have in the company have the title. Then you get it to Moxley, who's also very over with the crowd. He came in very hot, especially how he came in and attacked Jericho and Omega, but they had this set the whole time that the first non-WWE guy is going to be Kenny Omega. He's going to prove that, okay, I can be a major champion and beat those guys.
Yeah, this story they've had set up since he came in at the first show and not interrupted, but got involved with Jericho and Omega after the finish. This has always been the plan. It's very clear that it's what they were building to. I mean, as soon as they announced that tournament, you're like, all right, well, Omega's winning this thing. You have Paige on the other end. Like, this thing's just writing itself since they started this. And credit to them. It's a good story that they're telling with Omega from the tag division when he started that all the way through what they're doing now. They've invested in this long-term plan. It's good, but it was very obvious this is the way they're going. Do you definitely think Omega takes it off him? And does he do it on the first try?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think first try. The way they're building him and making sure that they're stressing he's the cleaner, and I think that's their money. That's going to be their go-to.
Unless it's all shadow play, and they're just smoke and mirrors us, and it's just going to be Moxley's just going to run through. Like, who do you have next, though? I mean, at least Omega takes it. You get a fresh crop, hopefully. I mean, if you look at their top, their heavyweight championship, like, division, I guess you can call it, like, who do you have? You have Moxley, you have Jericho that could always be thrown in there, you have Omega. I mean, who else is that caliber that you think is main event worthy?
That's like, you have Archer and Cage, but you've beaten them already. Like, you've already showed, like, Brody Lee, I get, like, and now we're just getting back on the WWE pinwheel again. But, like, yeah, it's very thin. And the way they've blown through some of these matches, like, obviously, if Omega gets it, you can go back to Paige and tell that story all over again. That thing will always be there. Cody, obviously, he's not allowed to challenge for the title. They'll figure their way out of that thing at some point, but
I think
not
they already
yet.
Have. I think our producer Bill came up with the idea that Cody couldn't, but Cody Rhodes can.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. I always
think, and it makes sense, and it's something that he would do.
Yeah, that's good shit. My idea was always like MJF becomes champ, but suddenly the TNT title is on par with that, and MJF challenges him, and it becomes title versus title. Like, that was my thought. So he can't challenge, but he can be challenged.
I actually like that idea a little bit better.
Yeah, this name thing.
Is definitely more thought out. I can see Cody doing that too.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Now you bring up MJF. I'm glad you brought him up, because he should have been the one. He's your face. Well, not your face, but the face. He's the future.
Yeah, like, and that's the give him. He was the title. The guy. If you're gonna give him the title, like, keep him down and let it marinate, let it build, you know, or put the belt on him. Rock was IC champ for like 9 months before he gets into the world title picture at the end of 98. Like, that's what I was thinking with MJF, but to just give him the shot and beat him. And he always has the out. Well, you know, Mox used the double arm and that was illegal, so he always has that to fall back on, but still, like, it's not like someone came in and tased him or something. Like, he lost the fucking match. So they've booked themselves into several corners here. Kenny Omega getting the title is the way to freshen up everything.
Yes, but MJF was the way to broaden that heavyweight title picture, because he can be challenged by almost anybody. He's not overpowering anyone. He's just out-weaseling people, which is what he's supposed to be doing. So you can bring more people in, and it's more believable that he's going to get beat. But he's that good at working a crowd that he doesn't. He always finds a way around it.
And then suddenly, like, if MJF is champion, if Jungle Boy gets a shot on a random Wednesday, it's like, yo, this might be the time where they give us that swerve. Like, yeah, exactly. When Jericho's champ, guess what's not going to happen? Jungle Boy beating him for the title. Yes. Like, that's just not the way it's going to be.
Same thing with Moxley. He's too high on the food chain.
Yeah, way too much. And I get wanting to, like you said, they want to establish these titles. They want them to be on top guys, especially where, what, 13 months into the company, just existing. Like, it's going to be, they're going to get there, but I just think they've blown through too many matches on the way.
I agree. Unless they have a couple tricks up their sleeve where they've got some guaranteed names coming their way that are going to be automatically in there. Like, I know Ricochet's name was thrown around there because he didn't re-up his contract. And I mean, that would only make sense, but he might, again, get thrown into the tag picture with Seidel.
That would actually be pretty sweet. I'd enjoy that.
And that's not really a mega name. That's not like someone that you're going to come in there and be like, all right, he's going to beat Moxley. I mean, it's just, they actually need to start building some people, because even the names that they're going to bring in from the indies, they're not going to be those top names that you want. You got to build them too.
No, and we already know, like, they're not going to put those guys over immediately. Like, Brian Cage, maybe not from the indies, but he's an indie star, you know? And what did they do with him right away? Like, yeah, he's got this thing with Taz going on and the FTR title, I guess that's, or FTW title. I guess that's something. But, like, they beat him right away, and then that's that. Yeah. They're not going to put these guys over immediately. So, yeah, like, Ricochet coming in, everyone who knows about Prince Puma is going to love it, but everyone else is going to go, oh, yeah, that dude who couldn't get over in WWE, awesome.
Yeah, it's really – I mean, they're putting on great content and good shows. It's just that when you actually stop to think about it, you're like, I mean, it's fun, but where is it going? And how is it going to get there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the – wrestling is the journey. It's the constant, okay, and then what? And then what's next? That's what wrestling has always been. It's this long-running soap opera that never ends, but they have put themselves in so many of these situations where it's like, well, yeah, Omega has to beat Mox, because then what happens? Say they keep the title on Mox, then what? Well, something we've already done.
Something we've already done, or they could have a magic trick up their sleeve or something, but that would just entail an either WWE guy that just got fired, or they're going to bring in another legend or something.
And that's I was listening to something, I can't remember what podcast it was, but they were talking like, how can you can't already be leaning on legends and things. Like, we're a year in and we're already going like, yeah, nostalgia moreover than our guys. Like, my God, what nostalgia? You don't even exist. I get that we've all, like, all your fans are lifelong wrestling fans, but, like, I don't know. I'm a big fan of Eric Bischoff, but I don't need to see him on the show a couple of times in a few weeks. Like,
Mickey Guerrero.
Like, who's the biggest name that, like, AJ Styles ain't coming over. Like, Daniel Bryan ain't coming over. Who's the big name that they could actually, like, entice into signing the contract to be a pro wrestler? Like, not a sports entertainer. You're going to go be a pro wrestler.
I don't think it would come from WWE. I think it would come from Japan.
Okay.
I think it would have to, and they would have to bring those eyes. Like, if they could somehow, it would never happen, but if they can get, like, Okada or Ospreay over, it would just.
Or Naito.
Yeah.
That would blow up. I just, if your goal is mainstream attention, which it seems to be with Cody doing TNT shows and all that, like, how much of a number does that pop for you?
It doesn't, because Nakamura didn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yes, 100%.
And unfortunately, Asuka has gotten herself to a point of where she's probably the top, besides Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte, Becky. I mean, then it would be Asuka, which I guess fifth in line's not that good.
No, it's not.
Well, to be fair, like, the women's division in WWE is fairly over. It's not what it was couple of years ago, but it's still, like, to me, it's the best thing they've done in the last 7 years is their women's division over this time with the four horsewomen.
Once they started focusing less on, like, what they were doing and more on actual in-ring work, that was – it took off.
Oh, 100%.
And they added NXT and had NXT do it too, because now NXT does it better than the main brand.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Well, I think with AEW and what it's lacking, I think, honestly, is another show. Because you have so many guys. I mean, even, like, who I like seeing a lot of, but you really don't see him, Will Hobbs, is very good in the ring. He needs a little bit more character development and more promo time, but he's really good. Like you said, Brian Cage, Archer, Joey Janela, Sonny Kiss. I mean, the list keeps going on and on and on of a lot of people that aren't really able to fit in. And I think you need to split that up. Now, how you would book it and where you would put that show, whether you would do it on YouTube or you find another way on TNT is different, but you need to do something because, like you said, they've painted themselves into so many corners that something has to change. Something has to switch up. And if it is Omega winning the title, you still have that mid card that I think is lacking with it. And adding Sean Spears to that list, Seidel's another one. There's a lot of people still out there that need more time. And I don't think Dark is the right answer.
Yeah, like just I enjoy Dark and they're doing a good job building people there and telling stories and that's cool. But like just the name, like these are Dark matches here. Like, okay, this isn't as important as much as I like Scorpio Sky. Like the fact that he's King of Dark. Okay, cool. Like, let me ask you this with like Cody Rhodes being TNT champ. You knew it was going to have to be someone big to beat him. Like, it was going to have to be a big, like, Brody Lee comes over from WWE. Boom. Brody Lee. Okay, that's believable that he beats him. They've been building up Darby. Now he's TNT champ. Does that open the door to play maybe a little bit more hot potato with that title and get it on a guy like Sky or a guy like Hobbs or something like
that? I think your next guy is going to be Starks.
Yeah.
Because they're he's in that seat, too, where they're going to start driving him forward.
And they have to with, like, the position they put him in. Okay, Taz is over. Cage is over.
Yeah, but Starks
here's this guy now, hanging out with them.
Like, Starks is now more over than both of them. I think Starks on the mic is your money with that trio. Oh,
definitely, definitely.
No, and in the ring as well. So I think he's going to be one of your – but, yeah, I think it is – a good chance for them to play hot potato. I mean, it's basically their intercontinental title or their TV championship. Like back in the day, you saw Malenko win it 1 week and then Jericho wins it another week. And then freaking even if you go further back, you had Arn Anderson who would win it and then Bobby Eaton. So yeah, it's like being able to defend it every week definitely opens up. And having someone like Darby Allin, I mean, you see a guy like Orange Cassidy now with that title. You didn't think he was going to beat Cody. You didn't think he was going to give him that rub, although he should have.
Yes, he should have.
He didn't. But now it opens up so many more doors for that title to go elsewhere. With Cody,
and I think
Cody was booking himself Triple H all the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. That's what Cody wants, and that's what Cody thinks he is. So that's what he wants to, and you know, not being able to win the world title. Okay, no, I'm just going to establish this title that has our TV branding on it. Like, okay, who's the face of the company? It's not even the world champ. It's, you know, we only do pay-per-view every now and then. We're on TV every week, and I'm the face of the TV station. Like, that's who Cody thinks he is. That's how he was booked to be. Now you can start moving it around a little and building other guys that way. I'm looking forward to that at least.
Yeah. I'm interested to see who's going to be the ones that step up. Who's going to be those next people? Because I think once they win and once everyone gets solidified for that on TV, then you're going to be able to see more people believable to take that title when they get more TV time. Now, if they just go recycling and it's Cody, Darby, mix in a Brian Cage here and there, and sprinkle in, then you're never going to have those people that are lower than them elevated. Like Larry was saying, a Seidel, like you were saying, a Scorpio Sky. Those are two believable people to beat Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Very, very believable. Especially in the ring.
Yeah, right now, you would watch them in the match and go, oh, yeah, Scorpio Sky is going to win this. Like, it's not unbelievable, finally. And that's, I think they definitely needed that.
We're kind of more impatient now as wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we see a long title reign, it's just like, okay, I've had enough of this. This needs to freshen up. And I think that's what you're getting with Moxley. I mean, it's what you get with WWE sometimes when someone holds a title for 300 some days, you're like, all right. Like, they're guilty of it, too. We're not just going to throw one end and not the other. They're guilty of it, too, where they have their people, and it's just, all right, you have it now, you'll have it then, and you'll run for a year, and then we'll build for Mania. I mean, it's just – if it's done on one end, I want to see something completely different on another end.
That's, and they've wanted to establish these titles, like in WWE, like their titles are established, but they just book themselves into situations where they're like, well, Drew's the guy, so we got to keep it on him. And then eventually everyone gets bored. So fuck it. Let's put it on. Suddenly Randy freaking Orton feels fresh because like we've been watching the same show in the same building with the same champ for 6 months. Like suddenly Randy Orton feels fresh. Like I get AEW's new. They want to establish these titles. We're going to have long reign for Jericho, a long reign for Mox. Like the tag titles aren't going to be thrown around like the tag titles in WWE in the Attitude Era. Like, okay, but now we have this TNT title. Can we please use it to like a little bit of unpredictability?
I don't want to bypass this because that's such a good point. And it's so, it correlates so well with AEW and how you said that the tag team titles were tossed around so many times. I mean, you got the Dudley Boys, you got the Edge and Christian, you got the Hardy Boys. Who else the fuck did you have in there? I mean, those were the three mains, but you have that in AEW. Like, you have that in more, where you have viable options everywhere. Like, that would be perfect for them. Like, I get, and they booked themselves to be like, all right, well, we gave you our tops. You know who they are now. It's the Bucks and FTR. Everyone else is kind of just cycled in there. But you have that talent where you have the Lucha Brothers. You have Ortiz and Santana. You have Best Friends. You have so many options, and they all – could hold the titles. You could have this crazy division that every week is lighting the TV on fire because it's unpredictable.
Yeah, and that's like, man, I don't want to get to the point of, man, we've all been watching Raw our entire lives. Like, we've all been SmackDown. Like, that's 5 hours of content right there. NXT. I don't want to get to the point of with AEW where it's just overexposure. I love 1 2-hour show. But when you look at the sort of talent they do have, man, how do you not push some of these? Like, I get Dynamite, like 2 hours. We need to get our top stories over, but there's so much more room. Maybe another show would really help them.
I think if you give them another 2 hours, you highlight, you can make a lightweight division or a quote-unquote cruiserweight division like WCW used to do back in the day where they put the first – hour was the cruiserweight division. You have the tag teams to do it. The women division is lacking severely. But, I mean, you get a couple names in there, then you can filter them in through two shows, even though you can barely get one match on one show that's over 5 minutes long. That division needs help.
Oh, dear. Like, man, that women's title match. And the match wasn't even that. It wasn't terrible.
No.
But
it tailed off at the end.
But I just did not give a shit. I was like, okay, well, here's some story. Like, one, Nyla is not good. Like, she just is so green, not ready. And they just haven't built these characters enough for me to care about them in any sort of meaningful way.
And then the ones that you do see them trying to invest in and put forward, they end up getting hurt and setting them back even further. Like Britt Baker gets hurt. That sets her back because she was on her way to being a top contender. Then you get Chris Statlander comes in and she looks like she's going to be a force in that division and help them out. She gets freaking hurt. So you keep getting these women in there and you're like, all right, well, this is going to be the one. This one's going to stick. Ah, fuck, 6 months.
Yeah, no, that's their division, like, to their credit, or in defense of them, they've had bad luck. Everyone they've tried to build has got hurt, and then they have to start over, and then suddenly, shit, we're only halfway building this character, and we're out of pay-per-view. If we have a pay-per-view with no women's match, people are going to freak out, because they're already pissed that we didn't build this story enough. So, like, it's a catch-22 situation with that division right now. Hopefully they get healthier, and it starts to really improve, but...
Yeah. They're that's a division that would benefit from even mid-card WWE names.
Without a doubt.
They could elevate them to the top. Like if you get someone like or Carmella or a Liv Morgan or something like that, or Ruby Riott would fit in very well in AEW.
100%, yeah. Get Zelina Vega, like so many of the women like in WWE who just like, that's a stacked women's division. It's just, you're not going to get a chance. Yeah. Yeah, like in AEW, they would have a chance and they could get over.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the WWE already have their top, and you already know who their tops are.
Yeah, and they're not going any like you know.
No, they're not. They're younger than us.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
by a lot.
Like Becky's not even there right now. You know, she's like when she comes. Like, there's will
either Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's your two top.
Like, that's those one are your and one two A. Best. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're still flourishing.
Yeah, and it's still very good. Like, it's that is somewhere that AEW could improve with, like, not even the biggest name. It wouldn't take Sasha. Like, it would just take somebody.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the one good thing you got to give AEW that WWE has failed to do that they used to do back when we were watching it and it was the hottest it was in the Attitude Era is at least AEW books from the back end. And they book the word I'm looking for. But like WWE, they always book like, okay, McIntyre won. Where do we go from here? Not let's build, all right, this happened. We got to build this way. So they build back forward. And WWE seems that they're always trying to catch up to their stories. So they're trying to, all right, what are we going to do next week?
And I was going to say it. They overlap their stories very well in AEW, where everything, everything is played like they bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had the Omega and Moxley thing that happened in the very beginning. Then you had a match, a hardcore. Everything that while they're building forward, they're still bringing it back to that. They overlap their stories very well. Yeah. You can sideline them for a second, but it'll somehow come back and tie back in to the current story between the two.
Yeah. And then when you pay off the one, the next one's ready to go.
Yeah.
Like you're not playing that catch up to tell a story. It's already half told. Now we can actually build it.
There was already that third party that's in there. That's already in the back of your mind. Like they're just waiting.
It's sort of what New Japan kind of does after they end this feud or they end the title and the match is over and they already are bringing out the next person. And the next person to challenge or start the next
story. I love that. I love that. At the end of WrestleMania, say the end of WrestleMania, when you know it's going to go to those stupid words at the bottom of the screen and the show's fucking over.
The lower third.
Yeah. The whatever. If you just have someone come out and challenge, like that is and it's an easy surprise. Mm-hmm. It might not always be the person that you want to see, but at least it's a reaction.
Yeah, and it's something. It's something to tell the next story.
Yeah. Like have someone waiting in the back, or you can even show them in Gorilla or back at one of the stupid monitors. I mean, it doesn't have to be something overproduced, but something is always better than nothing. I love that New Japan does it. I'm glad you brought that up.
You're welcome.
I never compliment you. I give you a compliment and you fucking
doesn't know how to react.
No, I don't. It shocked me actually.
I didn't condition him for this.
So I will, we're already too far into AEW, but WWE, we have Survivor Series coming up. And the main reason that we kind of shy away from it is because it's just so lackluster, this build. The teams with the talent that are on the teams, which are some of the best talent on WWE, but they're not gelled together. There's no sense made of it.
There's no story between it.
And like, you're interrupting a lot of really good storytelling to stop and promote Survivor Series when, no, I want to continue to see the Tribal Chief and Jay and all this build. I still want to see that. I don't give a shit that Survivor Series is coming up and you're taking some of the guys away to do 5-on-5 Raw versus SmackDown. I
could
care less.
It hurts them that they have brands. That's why I think that's why Survivor Series has lost its luster or whatever you want to call it. Like mm-hmm. if they were all one cohesive group, there would have been a story built up between team versus team. Now that it's this whole competition and for what? Ratings? For who's to say they're better?
That's my biggest problem with it. Like I see an opportunity to like tell the brand versus brand story, but other than, you know, brand supremacy, what does the captain of Team Raw get for winning? Like, why does he give a shit about what Stephanie McMahon or whoever, like, I get to tell Dad I'm the number one kid. Like, why does anyone care about that?
I wipe my own ass.
What exactly? 100%. Like, it's an easy thing, like, for one of the GMs or whoever to just put their arm around AJ Styles and be like, guess who's the number one contender if we win this one? Like, problem solved. Boom. Story. Reason for him to be in this match other than, well, we got this pay-per-view coming up. And to, like, another point, it's very obvious they don't have a long-term plan, because they do just drop everything, interrupt it, do this show, and then on Monday after the show, we're going to be right back to where we were.
Exactly.
It's like a standalone comic book. It's like its own, oh, this other thing happens, and then, you know, at the end of November, we'll be back to this.
I get the concept and how it's always been, but if they're going to do it and they're going to stop it, make it special. Make everything a stipulation. Make everything a gimmick match. Do something that every match is fun, and there's a reason that we're stopping everything and we're all just going to come together and have brand versus brand. We're going to go out there and beat the shit out of each other.
Like just war games.
Yeah, just do, like something like that, or make it like a fucking a hardcore heaven pay-per-view where everything's got a different hardcore. Well, I guess they can't do it in this era, but
yeah,
softcore.
Yeah.
That might get weird.
That's what I was thinking.
No, but it's like the TLCs from a cut. Like, okay, we have a TLC match. We also have a tables match. We also have a build it somehow other than it's Raw versus SmackDown. Let's see who qualifies. And now we're here at the show.
They
and here are the winners. Like, okay, cool.
They had it when they had NXT there. At least it freshened it up a little bit.
Yeah, like at least NXT, like, okay, their story is we're fighting to prove we're on equal footing. That at least it was a story of some kind.
And then they fucking completely squashed that because they proved that they were on equal footing, and then they all got abolished back to
NXT. And then see ya.
Yeah. The only reason that I probably most people, well, aside from the fact you're conditioned to watch WWE and WWE pay-per-views.
Those bastards.
The main reason I know that I'm going to be watching, and most people, is The Undertaker. This final farewell, I don't know how final it's going to be.
How many final countdowns does this guy fucking have? But Jesus Christ.
He's still The Undertaker. 30 years ago, he made his debut, so it's
how again, much do you want to bet that we're saying this 5 years from now?
I don't want to take that bet because I don't want to lose money. Because it's impossible.
They're going to try and get him to his 50-year anniversary. He's going to have to come on one of those old ring.
He will literally be in a casket by the time they are done, and that's how we're going to have him come to the ring.
You know, like in Mortal Kombat 2, like the final boss, the throne, like I want Undertaker just sitting there like on a throne watching everything. And like and that's the finale. Like instead of winning the Rumble, like you get a title shot after you're the last man standing, and then you beat the Undertaker. Now you're the title.
But see at that point,
it's gonna be like, Taker forever. Like
it would have just to be at Bernie's this. With the Undertaker.
What was that?
That's not a bad gimmick, though. I'd love to see the Undertaker is Weekend at Bernie's. He's already broken kayfabe, so why don't we just fuck around with him now?
Yeah, exactly.
Get him on the New Day podcast.
Oh, God. You want to see fucking the most awkward podcast of all time. That would probably be it. Mm-hmm. He would have no idea what the hell they were talking about.
No.
None whatsoever.
I mean, he got lucky with Stone Cold. At least they or on the same wavelength.
Yeah, a couple of good old boys drinking Jack. Like,
yeah, telling Vince stories.
The only two in the company who are allowed to tell them.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
The only two that earn the right to tell Vince stories. There's no one like that anymore. There's just no one there that could get to that level. And I love that. We always ask this question. We don't always ask it, but we ask it sometimes. Like, who is that next megastar? Who's that next Hogan, Rock, Austin, Michaels, Cena. Undertaker, Cena?
Can you see one?
I mean, I guess if either not here yet, like hasn't, or it's just Roman, whether we like it or not. Like the company is just built in a way now that they don't want it, because every time one of those people gets to that level and then leave, the company dips. Now it's just in a steady, okay, 2 million people watch every week and that's it. But it'll never, like, yeah, you have your ups and downs, but it's always just going to be this. We have our audience. Like, there's no goddamn live audience, and they're having their most successful year ever. They're a traveling company. They're the circus. And yet somehow they're making more money than they ever have. So, like, I just think it's not set up for there to be a Hogan or be an Austin anymore.
There would have to be someone that came through and was so undeniable that you had to make them. But the problem is that those people that we're talking about always had very, very elevated counterparts. Like Hogan had Macho Man. Hogan had
Warrior.
Andre.
Piper.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you have Rock, Austin, Taker, Kurt Angle,
Hunter,
Mankind, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. I mean, you go down that list. There was a lot of top guys. If there's one top guy, that might be it. There's no like top tier level. Like there was top tier levels. Like even you go Edge and Angle again, and Orton and Batista, and Triple H. I mean, there was those eras where there was still people that were 3, 4, 5, 6 people that could just, you could see them being the top of the company. You don't have 5, 6, 7 people anymore.
No, like think about the the first elimination chamber or that the Hell in a Cell, the 6-man Hell in a Cell. Like, yeah, Rikishi was in it, but let's forget about like five of those guys.
Yeah, but he was only there for the spot.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Someone had to fall and it wasn't going to be one of the guys they have all that money invested in. Like, okay, you ran Rock over. Yeah. You got here you go. You get to fall off the cage, but like you had a match with 5, 6 guys, all of them believable to leave with the title. Like say they do that 6-man Hell in a Cell now. Yeah. Roman's walking away with the belt.
Yeah.
Like,
if Roman's in it, I mean, they already did it. They had Strowman in there and he was destroying people. And that's when he should have won. But Roman went over.
Yeah.
They did it right with Baszler. Baszler legitimately beat the shit out of everybody and just squashed.
That was awesome.
It was a squash match elimination chamber. How fucking crazy is that? They won't do it for the men, though.
that was December to Dismember? That was Paul Heyman's idea for Punk.
He's
the first one out because the show, like, and Vince was like, yeah, go fuck yourself. Punk's the first one eliminated.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's another one. You add him with Cena. I mean, that gets a little bit more weary because then it was Cena, Punk, Swagger, and Del Rio.
Yeah.
Del Rio. Yeah. I mean, then you start taking a big dip.
Well, that's a time period of like that was a downtime. That was, it's the end of Cena. We don't real, and that's like they don't want eras like that anymore. They like having their they have depth. They have no height though. Like it's okay. The middle of our roster real solid. Nothing at the top, but everyone knows all of these characters.
That's a good point. You think about it like that.
So But do you think they're afraid to get those people to that point?
Or
do you think that you just can't? You just physically can't. Like, you can't get a Keith Lee to be that big. You can't get a McIntyre. You can't get a Strowman to be that big. Because there's pretty much your top tier. You tried it with Corbin, but you kept pushing him backwards.
Yeah, it just, like, I think about, like, I mentioned the Rock's IC title run earlier. Like, you just need to have that kind of confidence in a guy where you let him go be that heel. Like, yeah, it's people are going to get real annoyed with it, but they did it with the Miz a little bit with the IC title. Like, okay, you're going to go heel it up and people might get annoyed in the middle, but we're going to keep doing it until people recognize that this is some really good shit. And then we can elevate you from there. And they just don't seem to have that patience.
No. Well, they don't. And the fans don't.
No. Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. It's kind of like, we want something new every week. Like we want, like there's a new hot topic or a hot button issue every week. Like, okay, so they're starting to go one way. Well, how come they're not pushing this person now? Well, this person deserves a chance. Like everyone wants there's a certain group that want a certain person pushed. So you can't like listen to the people because if we push everybody, who the fuck, there's going to be no one in the mid card.
Yeah, no. And then like, who do they beat? Because one loss equals bury. We all know that. If you lose, you're buried. Like, yeah, Shawn Michaels got buried at every WrestleMania. That's why they call him Mr. WrestleMania, because he had to sweep up every week. think about Roman in the Rumble. Like the year Batista wins, Roman's the hottest thing in the world. People are chanting for him. People are dying for him. Yeah, next year. There's almost a revolt. People almost rush the ring to get Roman eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's welcome to Philadelphia.
Fickle.
So before we wrap up, I already said this to Joe before you came on.
I already gave him the heads up.
Yeah. So we have to talk Flyers hockey because, well, you're from Broad Street Hockey. And I wanted to get just a little bit. What do you think of what the team is going to look like going forward, coming out of last season? And the, I don't want to say disappointment, because they played really well. They didn't belong in the second.
You can't say that it was disappointment because they had their hot streak completely stopped. Like,
yeah, and they didn't belong in the second round. They didn't even look like they belonged in the first round. They had no business getting out of the first round. And that second round, they did not look. And for them to push as far as they did was surprising. So I was happy that they did push that, but
I think that's the biggest what if for Philadelphia sports in 2020 is if the Flyers season doesn't get stopped, do they make it to the cup?
Yeah, no, like they looked like that hot team going in. Yeah, I mean,
it was,
they were that team, and I'm what they're going to look like going forward. Obviously in an off season, you're hoping, oh man, okay, free agency trades, let's make the team better. They got to the second round. Let's now push for a conference final. Let's push for a cup. Let's do that.
How many intangibles do you think they're away from that?
It's not even so much intangible. It's just, if everybody takes the steps, there's like, first of all, if Carter Hart is what he's supposed to be, the rest of the shit don't matter. They're cup contenders. Yeah. Plain and simple, franchise goalie, you're good. You're good to go. Like Travis Konecny had a terrible playoff. Mm-hmm. He's one of their three, four best players. Like, if he's just a little better, they make it to the conference final. Like, I know they looked like shit in that second round, but it still went seven. If he gives them something, like a little bit, if Claude Giroux
gives them two goals, we're in the next round.
Yeah, he's like, exactly. Like, just if he just gives them a little bit more, like everybody, I just think it's about the young kids taking another step, obviously crossing your fingers on Nolan Patrick or Morgan Frost to kind of step in and be that third center. You need someone to take that role, because that was their biggest hole last year. And then it's just about, you know, Ivan Provorov. Now you have to prove you are a number one defenseman. You look like you can be. Let's see if you are. Travis Sanheim, take that next step. Phil Myers, it's a process. And I know after the time we spent developing these guys, it's like, okay, let's go. But it's hard to skip steps. It's really hard to skip steps.
And do you see Gostisbehere still being on the team next year?
I don't think they're going to give him away for nothing. But to start the year, I see him being on the team. When things start to shake out and they need to add a piece and they have to move that $4.5 million. Yeah, like I see him going during the year.
He really he had it, and then he just lost it. Yeah.
It was weird. I don't know what the hell happened, but man, I love the guy. Like, I'm a fan, but I think maybe he figures it out elsewhere, but I think it's best for all involved if he just gets a fresh start.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right. But so, I mean, look, we could keep going. I mean, as far as the Flyers talk goes, but we're going to wrap this up here. Bill, thank you so much for taking the time out, talking wrestling with us. We appreciate you coming on.
Man, this was a heavy AEW show.
It was. It really was. We weren't expecting that.
Usually we tie more into WWE, but they really stopped themselves with this pay-per-view coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anything you want to promote and get out there, absolutely go ahead.
Yeah, like you guys mentioned, I host Broad Street Hockey. That's BSH Radio. Just search Broad Street Hockey wherever there are podcasts, and boom, right there, you find us. We have content all the time, ton of shows. So subscribe to Broad Street Hockey. And I am the technical director on a show called You Better You Bet. It's on the radio.com app, also available wherever there are podcasts. If you're into sports gambling at all, check out You Better You Bet. It is a great time.
Now, what's that about? You've got me intrigued.
It's an all-around sports gambling show. It's 4 hours. It's every single day. It's live on radio.com from 4 to 8, and then we cut it up into podcast form, and it's there too. So it's a good time. Our host Nick Costos knows what he's talking about. We have pro betting guests on every day. These people who put like my yearly salary on a goddamn Boise State game like it's nothing. Like it's insane, and they dive deep. There's a lot of good information.
That's interesting. For all you gamblers out there, or people that like to listen to gambling, That's a weird thing to say. Go for it.
So, Bill, thanks once again. Really appreciate it. Oh, wait.
I got to know who's his all-time. Who's your all-time favorite wrestler?
Oh, Mick Foley.
Really?
Without a doubt.
You hear that very often.
No, that's why I wanted to ask. And I was curious. I was like, I got to throw this in there. I don't normally ask that question. But what – as the Foley, not Cactus Jack, not Dude Love?
I mean, it's Mankind. But, like, yeah, it's just the fact that he played the characters. Like, I've read his books. They're good. I've read his novels. They're good. Like, I just love the guy. He sacrificed his well-being. He sacrificed the second half of his life to entertain me as a child. Like, you know, that guy ain't going to be walking right ever. He's going to have a hard time forever because of what he did, just taking every bump imaginable. And I respect the hell out of that.
All right, so thank you once again, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to check us out on all platforms and follow us, obviously, here on Twitch. And follow Bill wherever you can, all over social media and Broad Street Hockey.
Follow him down Broad Street.
Yeah, that too. So thank you once again. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be talking to everybody soon.